What is the church building without people? Often we treat it like an object of reverence or a shrine. It's just some wood, some bricks, a lectern and a steeple. The building's dead without God's people. What use is an empty building, sitting idle? Can it pray or sing praise tune? Will the empty pews sing out? What's this lonely building all about? Sitting empty, all alone, can it point towards God's throne? The illuminated empty sign, will it declare that God's divine? When God's people leave this place, what becomes of this deserted space? What is church, I hear you say, when we know that Jesus is the only way? It is He that lives in you and me. He is the life that flows within us. We are His people, His church, His bride. The church is where two or three gather in His name. Then they can proclaim Christ's worldwide fame. It's not a building, nor a place, nor a temple or a shrine. The church, it's God's people. It's God saying, I bought you, you are mine.
Hi, good morning everyone. I trust that everybody's having a beautiful Sabbath day. And just want to welcome everybody, and just want to tell you about my T-shirt here. It's got a funny slogan on it: "Burn the haystack." So, how do you find a needle in a haystack? You burn the haystack, of course. This T-shirt comes from a couple of friends that do a podcast in New Zealand. Their podcast is called Burn the Haystack, so I just want to give a shout out to Josh and Jesse. Look them up on your favourite podcasting app or podcatching app. So what dreams do you have? What dreams do we have? Some of us have, we have different dreams. To finish school, to get a better job, to go on holiday, or maybe get a haircut. I think that's one of my dreams at the moment, is to get a haircut. I'm looking a little bit scraggly, a bit like a Yeti. So that's one of my dreams. Are you dreaming of retirement and going on that caravan trip around Australia? And I think, when we approach God with our dreams and our desires, we often focus on the things that we don't have. We say things like, I don't have enough money or resources. I don't have enough skill or knowledge. I'm too young or I'm too old. I could do so much more if He gave me. I can't move forward until. Lord, everyone else seems to have ... But I think when we sit down and open our hearts and really open our hearts towards God in His presence, God answers in the most unexpected of ways. In the Bible, we often see this unexpected answer. God asks, what do you have in your hands? We see this example in 2 Kings chapter 4, starting from verse 1. And I'll paraphrase here. So when a widow approaches Elijah, and she says, pleading for help, and she says, your servant, my husband is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my two sons as slaves. If anybody needed God's help, it was this widow. She had lost her husband and is on the brink of losing her two sons to slavery. But rather than giving her money, God answers through Elijah in an unexpected way. He says, tell me, what do you have in your house? "Your servant has nothing here at all," she says, "except a small jar of oil. And it's through this jar of oil that God chooses to work." Elijah asks her, go to your friends, go to your neighbors, and ask them for their empty jars. And fill each one of those with your small jar. And in faith, she does exactly what Elijah said. And every jar was filled. And that allowed her to pay her debts and live off the excess. And that's not a unique story in the Bible. When God tells Moses to confront Pharaoh, what does Moses say? Moses, he's afraid. He makes up all these excuses why he shouldn't do it, why he shouldn't go. But God reveals himself as the great I am and asks, what is in your hands? What's in your hands? And Moses' staff turned into a snake. And then God asked him to pick it up. And when Jesus asked his disciples to feed the crowds, the disciples said, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And Jesus replied, bring them to me. He broke the bread, gave thanks. And he broke the bread and gave thanks. In each case, what we see is God using what people already have in their hands and using it to work in miraculous ways. The widow's sons were rescued from slavery. Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt. And the disciples fed over 5,000 people with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. As I read these and other powerful stories in the Bible, I can't help but ask myself, what would happen if instead of focusing on what we don't have, we consider what God has already given us? What our talents, consider our dreams, our motivations, our faith, our time, our material well-being. Consider all these things and then give them back to Him as an act of worship. What do you have in your hands? Now, I'm going to share a personal story. A few years ago, a lot of you might remember the Black Saturday bushfires. So I was moved on hearing of what's happening. I was driving to work. This was on the Monday. I was driving to work, and I could hear the news reports of what was happening. And I thought, Lord, what can I do? I think I even remember saying it out loud. What can I do? God's response was overwhelming. He said, what do you have in your garage? More specifically, what does your dad have in his garage? You have 2 barbecues. Use them. And I just said, Lord, but where will I set up? I don't even know where I'm going. Where will I get the sausages from? Where will I get all the bread from that's needed for these people? Will I even get time off work? And God said, just take your barbecues and go. So I called my dad, and we went the next day. It might have even been the same day. I really can't remember anymore. It was a while ago now. And being the good negotiator, the good ethnic dad that my dad is, his negotiating skills, his haggling skills are top notch. anyone who even vaguely knows my dad will tell you that his negotiating skills, his haggling skills at A1. So he went to the butcher and he negotiated a good deal for the sausages and for everything else that we needed to go there. I'm pretty sure it had even been free when he told the butcher what we were doing. But to cut a very long story short, by the time the bushfires were over, there was an army of people working around the clock to man this barbecue. Not only that, the place where we had set up, there was a school behind us, and we were sort of in front of the school hall. Because, you know, people were gravitating to the smell of our sausages, there was an army of people working in a relief centre. A relief centre sprang up behind us where we're in the school hall where we set up the barbecue. And it was full of donations that people were just packing in. So if you can imagine a school hall, a school gym, you know, a basketball court size, maybe a little bit bigger, it was stacked about this high, full of donations, all the way to the back, rows and rows. And there was people working there, sorting these things out. And we couldn't give it away fast enough. It was just piling up. There was even a car that someone had donated, all pressed down, shaken together and overflowing. And this brings me to my next story, my next personal story. It's a little bit more recent. So some of you may be aware we've started a community cafe here at Dandenong Polish Church. And you know, I was asking God, before it happened, I was asking God, you know, what can I do? The church building is here, it's sitting empty, and we're not able to meet at the church because of COVID and what's happening in the world. And I was thinking to myself, you know, when God's people leave this place, what becomes of this deserted space? I asked God, how can I make this place, this empty place, a beacon of hope in the community? And again I heard the answer. What is in your hand? Think back to the bushfires. What did I do? What did you learn there? Did I not come through? Did I not provide? What is in your hand? Lay it at my feet, and I'll multiply it more than you can even imagine. Somehow, it all comes down to food. First, it was the barbecue, and now the Adra Cafe. God must know I love food. I mean, you can probably tell a little bit. My own mother will say that I probably should have been a chef. But it went from just an idea to a fully staffed operation in about 2 weeks. It moved so quickly, I'm still amazed. We now have around 40 volunteers registered with four teams working to supply hot meals and groceries to those that are less fortunate and affected by this COVID crisis. When I first flagged it with a couple of people, I was told it could never be done. It's impossible. Where will you get the volunteers from? Where will you get the funds from to run this thing? Who will supply the goods? The council won't allow it. The church must stay closed. God just said, what do you have in your hands? Just start. Just start. Just turn up. Step out in faith and just turn up. And I will do the rest. And he has come through with every prayer and more. I'll give you a couple of examples. As our service grew, as more people came to the Adra Cafe, we needed more stock. We needed more stock to be able to cook or give to people who come to the door. And people were donating food and other items. Not only that, but a service that we now rely on, Food Bank. We were told that Food Bank was closed. They weren't accepting any more people or any more services. But somehow we God opened doors for us, and we're able to get food so we're able to cook and supply groceries to those who come to us. Not only that, but because we're getting all these goods, we need another freezer. Not a small little freezer, it was a big freezer. And that costs money. And we prayed about it. And we got a donation. Somebody gave a donation, an anonymous donation. You know, it was $1,000 just randomly turned up. And that was put towards the freezer. Not only that, because we were cooking so much soup, you can't really blend soup with a little bar mix. You need a commercial size blender. Those are expensive too, but that was supplied as well. God supplied the funds for that too, right when we needed it, when our little bar mix that we had burnt out. Not only that, we needed a way to transport some of these goods from one place to another. Somebody's donated a van for the use of that, and right when we needed it, the van's still, it needs a little bit of repair, so it's still on its way. And I'm expecting God to do big things, so that can help the community even more, and so that we can show our community that we live in here the gospel in practice. Just bringing a little slice of heaven, a little slice of God's kingdom into their lives. Actually, I'm just waiting in excitement and in expectation. I'm like a little kid who's waiting for a bag of lollies to come down from the hands of his father. I'm waiting in expectation for what God will do next. Pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. What is in your hands? Now, as a church, Dandenong Polish Seventh-day Adventist Church, as a community, what do we have in our hands? What talents do our members possess that God can use for his glory? Do we even know? Have we taken stock? What dreams and visions do we have as a community? What motivations do we have that we can place at the feet of the Almighty? Our faith corporately, what does our faith look like? Have we examined how we spend our time as a community? Do we spend our time arguing about who is the greatest, or anonymously assassinating each other with gossip, innuendo, and slander? Or are we spending our time looking for ways to build each other up and building the community around us, nurturing them into the heavenly kingdom? What is in your hands? Now, I want to set three challenges before you. And before I put these challenges out, I'll say that all three of these challenges I take on board personally. So the first challenge, as an individual, look at what's in your hands. Look at what God has given you. And then give it back to God as an act of worship. My second challenge is for our church leadership, is to intentionally, because I've got this written down, I need to read this one, is to intentionally and systematically look to build others up and nurture the young people and the young in faith so they too can recognize and see what's in their hands. All the while being careful not to blind their way, but showing and mentoring and discipling them into a relationship with Jesus. My third challenge is for our church community here, Dandenong Polish Seventh-day Adventist Church. Have we taken stock and looked to see what's in our hands? And then giving it to God as an act of worship, to use as He sees fit for His glory? Or are we trying to keep the status quo at all costs and therefore missing out on the rich blessings that God is just waiting to give us? If only we looked at what's in our hands. What is in your hands? That's my prayer for today. What is in your hands? Lord, I pray that we can recognize what's in our hands and that we will be willing to give it to you as an act of worship. And I want to thank you that you are a good father and a redeemer and a friend, and you know our needs even before we know them ourselves. Lord, I pray for my church community, Dandenong Polish Seventh-day Adventist Church, that we can find what is in our hands, or rather that you can show us what is in our hands, that we can be an effective witness for your kingdom. Amen.